and you're very welcome along to another edition of The Score with myself, Dermot Doherty. Hopefully you can stay with us through until 8 o'clock this evening as we build up towards another big weekend on the sporting front. My studio guest this evening is former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle, and Joe will be helping me look ahead to this weekend's action in the League of Ireland. Both Harps and Derry City in action tomorrow night. Harps host Dundalk and Derry are in Waterford. And Paul Brown, well, he's the manager of the St Union's College senior soccer team, who this week qualified for the All-Ireland Schools Final. Paul will be coming into studio to talk about his team's journey in that competition in a short while. There's Gaelic Games action too. There's the Ulster Under-20 Final on Saturday. And on Sunday, the Donegal Hurlers have their league playoff final. More on those games later. And we'll hear from Martin Walsh, media coordinator of the National Rally Championship. Martin's been speaking with Oisin Kelly ahead of Sunday's Mayo Stages Rally. So another busy programme up ahead. And to kick things off, well, I'll start by saying good evening to Joe Boyle. Joe, you're welcome onto The Score.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, Joe, to kick things off, 4 weeks into the new League of Ireland season, we've had some decent games, a good start from Harps. It's been very enjoyable so far.
It certainly has. You know, they started off with Sligo with a very, very positive result and a very positive performance on a difficult night. And I felt Harps were really, really good on the night and good value for their victory. And up until that last minute of the injury time of 5 minutes out of time, they were looking very, very promising in the Brandywell. And last week in Cork, very unfortunate decision where they had a goal disallowed. And, you know, going to Cork when they've been struggling, you get ahead of them and you put them under pressure. You know, Ollie could really be looking at 9 points now rather than sitting on four. But all in all, I think Ollie will be really, really delighted with the start. And I think the manner in how they've played has been really, really positive. So all in all, it's been a very, very good start for Harps.
Yeah, and as you say, they've got 4 points from the first three games, Joe. But as you said, it could have been so much more.
Oh, it definitely could. You know, coming out of the Brandywell that night, to be disappointed with only 1 point. You know, Harps really did do well. Yes, they were under pressure at times, but I felt in the Sligo game and particularly in the Derry game, they defended really, really well individually and as a team. And, you know, it was very, very unlucky that they got caught in the last minute. But all credit to Derry. I think Derry did keep playing. They did keep throwing everything they had at them. And, you know, Derry bounced back then with a really good result, where they've now sitting on 4 points as well. And, you know, Declan Devine will be sitting there thinking, you know, what could have been starting off with a difficult match in Dundalk, where, you know, they were right in it up until the last 10 or 15 minutes when Dundalk scored. And even then, Derry were playing some really good football and put Dundalk under pressure. And, you know, it's been a positive start for Derry and for Finn Harps. Maybe not so much for Sligo, where they've struggled a little bit. But, you know, even looking at Sligo, I think Liam Buckley will get them on the road. And hopefully this weekend that Sligo will get a good result this weekend. But look, they're at home to Shamrock Rovers, and after looking at Shamrock Rovers last week against Dundalk, it's going to be challenging for Liam Buckley. And I think maybe a bit like Harps last season, where the run of fixtures of this first couple of games has put them under pressure. But, you know, I'd have every confidence that Liam and Sligo will, you know, start climbing up the table quite soon.
Yeah, and unlike Harps and Derry, Sligo have relatively the same kind of a squad as they did last year, Joe.
Yeah, not as much of a turnaround. I know Ollie's had done a great job because he's had a lot of lads that have left and a lot of new lads coming in. Same with Derry. You know, Derry lost a few key men, but, you know, Sligo did lose one or two key men at the up front, and, you know, the goals have gone, and at the back they've lost one or two. But, you know, generally it's the same squad, but they haven't really got the kick or the bounce from that stability. And, you know, maybe a little bit of up turmoil could have gelled them a bit together a bit better. But look, at the other side is Liam will hopefully get something out of the match this weekend and, you know, slow down the other Rovers in the Battle of the Rovers this weekend. Yeah. And Sligo may, you know, a point this weekend, I think, would be a good result for them if they could get that at home.
Yeah, so Harps have Dundalk at home, Sligo Rovers have Shamrock Rovers at home, and Derry away to Waterford. I think the general feeling is that there are no easy games in this Premier Division this season.
No, I was just looking at the fixtures there before I came in, and, you know, it is challenging. You know, this weekend, you know, Harps have Dundalk at home, Sligo have Shamrock Rovers at home, and then next weekend it's a North West Derby for Sligo and Derry, and then Finn Harps are away to Shamrock Rovers. You know, there's nothing easy in that, Jeremy.
Nothing easy in it. Well, Harps and Dundalk on Friday night, both sides going into this game on the back of defeats last weekend, with Harps losing to Cork City and Dundalk losing against Shamrock Rovers. Harps boss Ollie Horgan feels it's another good game for his side to measure up against the best in the country. He's been speaking with Chris Ashmore about last week's loss in Cork, and he's also looking ahead to the visit of the Lily Whites.
Well, Ollie, just before we look forward, just glancing back on the Cork game, mixed feelings. Ultimately, you feel Cork probably deserved their victory, but obviously there was the disallowed goal, and it's awkward because you didn't get justice is what you're basically feeling.
Nothing to do with the result. Fair play to Cork in the second half. They deserved to win the game, and it's, you know, if we won the game 2-1, I just, you know, in 30 years involved in sport at all level, and indeed Paul Hegarty, who's that length involved, you know, from grassroots level up to whatever League of Ireland under the edge international side of it, I've never seen a decision reversed in the time scale and the manner that it was done. If it was a free out at the start, it's a free out. That's not our criticism. The goal was allowed. There were 3 points at the centre circle. The linesman made his way back to the halfway line. No flag, nothing. We celebrated under the shed end. We brought the ball back to the halfway line and put it down there and ready to tee off and tip off. And to be fair to Liam Boslin, the Cork goalkeeper, he got injured in it, which doesn't indicate a foul. You know, some of the more serious injuries in sport happen with no one around you. There wasn't coming together. If he gave a free out at that stage, yeah, I would have been disappointed and moved on. We wouldn't be talking about it here. But the crowd, because he lay down injured, and fair play to the Cork crowd, they bullied the linesman, and the linesman convinced the referee that there had to be a foul. And to be fair to the referee, he explained that to me afterwards, and he apologised, and I give him huge credit. Unfortunately, the linesman did not apologise. In fact, he did anything but that. But that's for another day, and I can't brand all the officials because of one person that obviously feels he's better than the rest, because Neil Doyle, while he made a mistake, was man enough to admit it, and he shook his hand, and he'd be the first person to shake hands with me again whenever I see him again.
Moving forward, Dundalk coming to Balmafay on the back of a defeat in a tremendous top of the table clash. It's never easy against Dundalk, but you know, this time last year, you salvaged a point off them, so you'll go in, obviously, hoping you could do that again.
Yeah, the result last year, around the same time of the year, when Keith scored, I think, from a corner kick and Blingarton equalised from the exact same corner, the spot, if you like, in the second half. It's a huge ask, you know. We'll know exactly how much of the gap it is there at the end of Friday night. Have we closed it? Has it got wider? I don't think anybody knows. You know, Dundalk have taken in serious quality. You know, the Cammy Smith lad they took in from Dundee is a serious player. The patching that out of Manchester City, they look the little bit we see of them or saw of them have they're top class, along with what they already had, if you like. You know, we'd need a hell of a lot to go our way to make a game of this. What we don't want is we got beaten 7-0 here 4 or 5 years ago by Dundalk, and there was no shame in it. They wiped the floor. This Robbie Benson, I think he got 2 in the first 4 minutes. And if we don't start right on Friday night, that could happen. However, on the other side of it, you know, we need to kick on. Is it too early for us to bridge that gap? Only time will tell. But no better way to try and get over a disappointment of Friday night than playing Dundalk. And as I said inside there, like, it's great that we're talking about Dundalk, you know, that they're coming to town, and I just hope that people can come out in their numbers to support us and to watch what the top team in the country has been. You know, a bar 1 year with Cork, you know, the Dundalk have been the top team for the last 6 years.
And the Donegal public, they can play their part, getting behind you, creating a really good buzz at Finn Park. And it's going to be a heavy pitch. It's going to be a bit of a scrap no matter what happens.
Yeah, although Dundalk are able for a scrap as well as play, to be fair to them. They're men, you know. And yeah, we do. I mean, I refer to inside the way that the shed end in Cork got a referee's decision turned around. Congratulations to them. You know, have I a doubt about our lads and supporters behind the goal or in the stand? Absolutely not. They're proper people. But we need them out. We need them to be patient as well, not just on Friday night, for the next number of weeks, months, whatever it may be. We will get better. It's a matter of how quickly that'll happen. And you know, you're looking at Dundalk on Friday night, your fourth game in. You know, it took us 14, 15 games to get a win last year, to get a team getting to a better level, if you like. Maybe it's a bridge too far on Friday night, but only time will tell, Chris. You know.
And finally, you've made a lot of personnel changes. A lot of new guys have come into the squad this year. You're still trying to finalise what's your strongest 11. So even for this Dundalk game, you know, how close to kickoff is it before you select your team?
There's, you know, chops and changes by the minute, and let's be honest with you, Chris. You know, we have probably a bigger panel than we had last year, which brings with its own difficulties, but also it brings with the choices. We don't know what our best 11 is. There's very little between our top player and our number 20 player, let's be honest. And we won't know that, and probably won't know it till we chop and change a little bit. You know, I think our dietitian Nina mentioned to me that we'll 8 games in April. We'll know at the end of April who can do what. You know, we know the lads that have come in from our own league or from the Irish league, the lads that have come in from abroad, or that we don't know probably enough about them. They're great lads, to be fair to them, but we don't know what level they can get to, a level without doubt. We don't know how high a level they can get to, and we'll know that at the end of April without doubt. Like,
and fair to say, is it a physically stronger side this year?
Well, that's hard to know. I mean, we've lost, if you take the likes of Dan O'Reilly, Harry, Keith, Josh, you know, they were physically very, very strong. So I'm not sure, you know, that type of way. Yeah, we've taken in lads that have ably, and please God, will ably replace them. But, you know, would have been a big enough side last year, Chris? Are we any bigger? I would doubt so. I think it's much of the muchness, but that way, do.
That's Ollie Horgan there in conversation with Chris Ashmore at the Harps press conference earlier this week. Joe Boyle, they make reference there to the new signings that Ollie has brought in at Harps this season. Already he looks to have strengthened his side. It looks to be a much better squad in terms of experience, in terms of strength, than last season.
Yeah, I like the look of the three centre-backs there that played against Derry and against Sligo. Siddiqui and Shane McElhenney has come in alongside Sam Todd, and you know, they have good balance there. You know, they've got Sam on the left and McElhenney played on the right, and Siddiqui in the middle. They're big, strong lads, good in the air, and you know, good defending. And you know, in the Derry match, I was really impressed when Shane McElhenney was playing there, where he really did defend well up until he got injured. And Webster then outside, and Webster's come in, and I have to say he's been impressive in the matches as well, where he's done really well. And Mark Russell, you know, from last season, he's carried on that positive form that he had last year, and he's given them a good balance there at the back. And again, Ryan Connolly coming in, you know, he's given them a little bit of difference in the middle of the field as well, and he's done really, really well in there. And, you know, Ollie has strengthened the squad. You know, Barry McNamee coming in to me has been a really key signing. You know, he's done so well to get Barry in. Such a good footballer, you know, good on the ball, and, you know, League of Ireland pedigree, you know, played at the top level with Derry and with Cork, and, you know, he's a winner, and you could see that in the bits that he's come in. Even that first night when he came in against Sligo, it took him a minute or two to settle down, but, you know, you can see his class in the matches that he's played so far. And, you know, he's made some really, really good signings. And Carlos Sullivan up top has come in and done really, really well. He's given him a good outlet. I know he's brought in a couple of other forward players, where Cameron Saul has come in, and he's brought in, what do you call him, up front as well.
The Austrian,
yeah.
Kobler.
I leave that one to you, Jared, now. But, you know, so he has, and all around the pitch, there's a good balance there, you know. You could nearly look at in every position now, where he's got two players for every position, and, you know, he's done really, really well. And Mark McGinley came in, you know, when they were under pressure there, when Kieran got injured last season, and he's done really well, and he started off well. So look, he has to be delighted with his squad and with the quality in there, and, you know, long may that continue. And, you know, when you look at Derry's squad as well, yes, they've lost Sloggett, which we'll see this Saturday night or Friday night in Balbuffet, but, you know, he's brought in Conor Clifford, he's brought in Conor McCormick, he's brought in Figueroa, which was really, he done well now. When McElhenney went off, he done really well in the Brandywell. You know, he has a bit of class in there, and, you know, he's brought in Adam Little, who got the goal, and I like the look of Stephen Mallon as well, you know, where he's come in and done really, really well for him. So, you know, the North West clubs have strengthened, and, you know, I'm very, very positive. I feel that both of them will push on, and we'll not be looking at hanging on at the end of the season, and, you know, both of them hopefully will be nowhere near the playoffs and pushing up into them European spots, and maybe a good cup run as well with the strength of their squads.
Yeah, well, the next test for Harps is the Champions tomorrow night at Finn Park in Balbuffet. That game kicks off at 8 o'clock. And just a result, by the way, from today, there was schools action today. FEI Schools Tom Tischer Junior Ulster Cup final. This is at under 17 level. Skull Warrabuncrana defeating St Union's College of Letterkenny by a goal to nil. That match played today at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. We'll go for a quick break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. The new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop in store.
And you're welcome back. Derry City boss Declan Devine is looking for his side to build on their first victory of the season when they go to Waterford on Friday night in the Premier Division. Last season, Derry didn't win at the RSC grounds, and Devine is looking to change that this week. Kieran Call and Ali Gilchrist are doubts, but will be given every opportunity to feature tomorrow night. And speaking with Kevin McLaughlin, well, Devine is backing his young group for another victory.
The boys were always full of confidence. Boys are always back themselves. The standard of training this year has went up drastically. We're in a very good place. The boys are really putting a lot of effort on a daily basis. And, you know, even on the back of a very good one at the weekend, you know, they came on. Sometimes you can find it takes a day or two to get going that they're having themselves with. But that wasn't the case. They've came on and trained brilliantly all week. The togetherness of the group again will continue to get better when you make 9 or 10 changes in your group. For me, I didn't feel this time last year that we were in full flow. I think we were okay against UCD, we were okay against Waterford. After that, we didn't really hit the heights of what we were able to sustain in the middle part of this area, the season. But I think this group will evolve, I think it'll get better. And the key for this moment in time is to make sure you get as many points on board in the early games and then continue to strive to get your style of play and your players knowing everything about each other. And that's it's pretty much impossible to do that in a 8 week period. It's a 40 week season and we need to make sure that as the weeks go by we continue to get better.
More games, more training sessions, they are sort of knowing the what way they play Hammond and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
There. So that's what you're looking for.
It's really key for me is that they continue to trust each other and they continue to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. They understand the way that we want to evolve as a team and what we want to put on their game plans and the way we want to play. So it's very much work in progress. Fantastic, we got 3 points last week, but the key now is can you go and get another 3 points? It's very difficult. We didn't win there last year. We threw away a 2-1 lead with 30 seconds left in the game. We took a lead down there the last time and conceded a poor goal at the back post from a corner. So we didn't win in the RSC last year, and we know it's going to be extremely difficult down there this year because they're sprinting a bit of fire as well. They've been disappointed to lose their last two. But they also showed a lot of quality when they went to St. Pat's on 1-1-0. So we have a lot of young players playing this league for the first time. When you look at the team from last week that finished with a 24-year-old right back, a 24-year-old player left back, with a 21-year-old centre back, a 19-year-old centre back, a 19-year-old midfield player, a 19-year-old wide left player, and a 20-year-old centre forward. It's a very young side. There was 5 players under 21 that finished the game. A lot of them are playing this league for the first time. So the omens are good. I back these young players. I back the players that's on there with a lot of experience to help those young players. So when I reflect on it, great night last week, but pack our bus now and we got to try and have another memorable night in the RSC.
Waterford, as you say, like they were sort of, everybody was going, who are they going to sign? They left their ring so late. But then they come out and get a result at St. Pat's. Never worry what they got.
He's signed good players. Yeah. Ali Coote from Brentford. We were very much speaking to Ali as well. And he's a fantastic player. O'Connor, we know all about. The two guys he brought on for Reading are excellent players. So look, you can go through their groups. Murphy's potentially one of the best goalkeepers in the league. Could go through the Waterford team and there's a lot of talent on there. There's a lot of experience and there's also a lot of players that can hurt you if you're not right. So we're under no illusions. It's going to be a big battle down here. This time of the season is our first game on grass. So it's the makings of a fantastic game. I know Alan Reynolds very well and he'll be very determined that they don't lose 3 home games on the spin.
What do you like when any sort of team moves? Obviously Kieran Call.
Kieran Call's a worry. He's a worry. He's going to getting him scanned today, see how he is. If he's past fit and good to go, then he'll be in the squad. Ali Gilchrist, I'll see a doctor later today as well to see how if he can pass. So as I said, look at the very start, Gerardo Bruno has missus had a baby and we congratulate them on that. But, you know, there's certain aspects that what we wanted when we were doing our recruitment is that we had competition for places. I think you've seen the impact of the boys coming off the bench in the last couple of games that have really not only just sustained the performance but actually enhanced it coming off the bench. And that's key. That's absolutely key that we replace like we like. Whoever's available, great. And if they're not available, we don't worry. We've got to trust the people that we have. And I fully do that. I'm quite happy to put people on because I know that we have a lot of good players at the group.
Declan Devine there, the Derry City manager, speaking to Kevin McLaughlin. Joe, Derry going to Waterford then tomorrow night, and on the back of that win against Bowes and that great result against Hearts, when at one stage for so long in that game they looked as if they were going to take nothing from it, all of a sudden things looking so much better for Derry.
Oh, definitely. Look at what he called him. I think great credit to Declan and the team that they kept going in that match. You know, it was a difficult night and, you know, they could have taken their foot off it with into injury time, and when they didn't look like getting a breakthrough, they hit the crossbar. But, you know, that positivity from Declan, you can hear it there in his interview where, you know, I think that's brushing off on the players. And I look at some of the players that have come in there, having worked with Conor McCormick and Conor Clifford, and you look there at Jamie McDonough, you know, they've got quality in there, and, you know, Kieran Harkin round the middle of the field. And when I look then up front at Tim Nielsen, you know, there is players there of real quality. I mentioned earlier about Figueroa, and going to Waterford where they have struggled, you know, I don't think Derry will worry too much about the journey down there. They'll be well prepared. They've had a week to prepare for that. I know it is a big match for them, but I'd be very, very confident that Derry will come out of it there with 3 points, and it'll shorten the journey back up the road for them. And, you know, it will be a key match for them because then they head into a North West derby. But, you know, every confidence that Derry will get the result down in Waterford.
Okay, thanks, Joe. That match, one of four then tomorrow night. St Pat's against Cork City, Waterford against Derry. Those two games kick off at 7:45. And the other two matches are at 8 o'clock. Harps against Dundalk and Bowes against Shelburne. And then on Saturday night, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers at the Showgrounds. That game also kicks off at 8 o'clock.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. The new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop in store.
And you're welcome back to The Score. The Republic of Ireland women's side are in action tonight. They're hoping to strengthen their claim on a Euro 2021 playoff spot tonight. They are playing against Greece at the Talla Stadium, and that game kicked off at 7:15. No goals to report in the early stages of that one. Amber Barrett, by the way, is named among the subs tonight. The FAIS Dr. Tony O'Neill Senior Schools competition continues. St Eunan's College of Letterkenny crowned Ulster champions last week. Well, they won their All-Ireland semi-final on Tuesday and are now looking forward to another national final. Team manager Paul Brown has joined us in studio. Paul, you're very welcome along.
Thanks for having me, Dermot.
Your side faced another difficult test on Tuesday against Chanel College from Coolock, but the 3-1 scoreline suggests your team passed that test with flying colours, Paul.
It did, yeah, it did. It was actually quite comfortable in the end, Dermot, to be honest with you. I didn't think we'd have it as easy, but, you know, it was credit to the boys themselves. They sort of had a game plan. We had a game plan, and they set it in motion from the first whistle, and they didn't really let Chanel College settle at all. So, no, we're delighted to get away now with a 3-1 win and through to the All-Ireland final. So it's something really to look forward to in the next few weeks.
Because when you reach the national stages of a schools competition, Paul, it's very hard to know just how strong the opposition are.
It is. It is very hard. And especially when you're up against the Leinster teams, you know the quality of football is going to be of a high standard and that you're going to be up against it. But, you know, we have a good team. We have a good squad there too, you know, and they really asserted themselves on the day and you know, they got the result, which was great.
And after today's other semi-final being played, you now know the opposition in the final?
Yeah, we're playing Douglas Community School. They beat Summerhill Sligo 3-0 today down in Athlone, so we know that it'll be them we face now in 3 weeks' time, so we'll try and have to do a bit of digging and see what we can get information-wise from that.
Joe, you would know plenty about Paul's side. You've worked with some of those players, I'm sure, during your time at Harps. He's got a decent squad there.
Yeah, he has. And look, to go and beat a Leinster champions 3-1 during the week, that says a lot about them. And facing into the Douglas challenge as well. Look, Douglas have beaten a very, very good Summerhill school. So, you know, this will be an evenly contested final for St Eunan's. But the quality that they have right through their whole team, you know, they've got some really, really good players in there. And, you know, we'll be hoping and wishing that they do well. St Eunan's have a good tradition there of winning All-Ireland finals. And, you know, when they get that far, they generally carry it off and they generally get the result that they're looking for. So, you know, all the best to Paul and all the lads in the final there, and hope that they can really carry that off and win another All-Ireland for St Eunan's.
Yeah, and These schools teams, Joe, they're benefiting from the fact that so many of the players are getting experience playing with the likes of Harps, playing with the likes of Derry at League of Ireland level.
Yeah, and the other one is when you look at the likes of Letterkenny Rovers, you know, they're playing now in the National Cup this weekend. So, you know, these boys are all playing at a good level week in, week out. And, you know, then when they come together for their school, that they've got a solid basis there where, yes, they're doing a lot of work at the club. But I know Paul there in the school where they put in a huge effort there in the college to mould the boys together and bring them together from all the different teams. But these lads have come through from first year right through now. Some of them will be doing their leaving cert this year. You know, they've been in or about the Ulster final every year. They've been unfortunate coming up. Some of them would have been bumped into a really, really good Cairn Donagh team who had won a number of All-Irelands. So, you know, this could be their year, and Cairn's out of the way now, so St Eunice will definitely be looking to bring another All-Ireland title back to Donegal.
Yeah. And Paul, the nice thing is you'll get a chance perhaps to have a look at some of those Douglas players this weekend, because ironically Letterkenny Rovers and Douglas meet in an FAI youth match this Saturday in Letterkenny.
Yeah, it's a stroke of luck, Jeremy, that just happened. Letterkenny Rovers went down a few weeks ago to Cork and the game was cancelled due to the weather conditions, so it had to be reversed. And now the Douglas team play on Saturday at 12 o'clock, and there's a big crossover between the school team and that team. Just like my own school team, there's 5 players to 6 players on the Letterkenny Rovers team, so likewise they'll get a look at our boys as well. But no, it's good to get the chance to get a look at them. You know, we didn't sort of other a blindfold on to the Leinster fixture against Chanel College. We didn't know what we were up against, so this time we might have an idea of what's ahead of us. So That's all good, so it is.
Okay, and I mean, it's going to be a while until the final in a few weeks, I think.
It's penciled in for March 25th at the moment, so hopefully we're looking up at Dublin, maybe at Home Farm or an Athlone.
Right. And between now and then, how do you prepare for a final, Paul? I mean, I'm sure there'll be nerves there, and there's always big preparations and plenty of excitement as well.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of excitement, and it's great to bring that back to the school, and there'll be a good buzz about the corridors now for the next few weeks. So no, we'll just get a few training sessions in and maybe a friendly or two along the way as well, just to keep the boys on their toes and keep them sharp.
Yeah, because as Joe already said, there's plenty of experience in your squad, and the very fact that you came out of Ulster as well, because there's so much competition up here, so many quality sides.
There's a lot of quality sides, you know. Yeah. As Joe alluded to earlier on there, the Cairn Donagh side, the great Cairn Donagh side of the last few years, they've won 3 of the last 4 Dr. Tony O'Neill Cups, so that says a lot about the calibre that they have up there. But it was Cranach College beat them in the semi-final, so when they went out of the way, we sort of saw our chance and took it in the Ulster final, and we've kicked on. But no, you know, it's going to be important now the next 3 weeks to keep the boys focused on it, on the job at hand. And, you know, just from listening to the game today, that the semi-final that Douglas played in, they have some very good quality players there as well. Adam Ida of Norwich's younger brother plays with them, and he seems to be a live wire. So, you know, we'll have our work cut out that day too to get the results. So.
Right, okay, well, plenty to look forward to. Well done, first of all, this week. That's the main thing, because that was a difficult test on Tuesday, but an impressive performance and a great result, 3-1 victory. And it's on now to another national final, Paul. And it's always nice to reach that stage.
Oh, it is surely. And, you know, the school has a good record at that level, although the last time we did win an All-Ireland, Dr. Tony O'Neill, was 2005. We'd back-to-back, actually, 2004 and 2005, but right, we haven't reached those lofty heights since. So, listen, it's nice to get there, and it's nice to
experience it.
That's 15 years ago, was right now, so hopefully we can bring the cup back home this time, and we can give the school and indeed the town something to cheer about.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for coming in tonight, Paul Brown, the manager of the St Eunan's College side. Well, we're going to turn our attentions now to Gaelic games, and Yvonne Bonner will miss the rest of the women's AFL campaign. That's a big blow. The Donegal forward suffered ankle ligament damage while playing for the Giants against Brisbane last weekend. Sydney say a scan has confirmed ligament damage, which rules her out for the rest of the season. And St Tiernach's Park in Clonus will play host to the Ulster Under 20 Championship final on Saturday afternoon as Donegal meet Tyrone in the decider. And joining me on the line to look ahead to what promises to be an intriguing encounter is Frank Craig of the Donegal News. Frank, Donegal and Tyrone, two sides who know each other pretty well. Saturday's final could be a fascinating tie.
Yeah, Jeremy, they know each other pretty well, and listen, they're great rivals at all grades, and any time these two sides meet, you know, it spikes and pricks interest in both counties. I think, you know, with respect to the rest of the province, they are each other's biggest rivals, and as you said, you know, you're looking at their own side that were under 20 champions in Ulster last year, and I think 3 years ago at this grade as well, they won an All-Ireland title, so, you know, a big step up for Sean Paul Barton, who's Donegal side at the weekend. But listen, we've seen them against Monaghan, we've seen them against Down, and I don't think they'll fear Tyrone, but it's a difficult ask. It's their most difficult ask yet in the competition. But, you know, I've been impressed with Donegal, and you've seen them in both outings too. So, I mean, so much on the line at the weekend, but we're all really looking forward. Just hope that the weather has improved than it's been over the last fortnight.
Yeah, because it hasn't been great, has it, Frank? I mean, Donegal playing in horrible conditions in both those games against Monaghan and then against Down, and it hasn't been easy for Tyrone either.
It hasn't, and I suppose, you know, that day in Ballyshannon, we didn't think the weather could get much worse, but 7 days later at the Loop in Derry, we had snow, we had sleet, we had rain. But the really interesting thing was, in both those games, in both opening halves, Donegal, you know, had those elements with them, and they didn't fare too good. I think they exited with a 3-point lead in Ballyshannon, they exited level with Down last week, and you worried for them in the second half. But strangely enough, and I suppose that traditional running game of Donegal's, you could see that was kind of incorporated in both those second halves, and Donegal actually fared better carrying the ball, you know, running the ball through the lines, and they actually played much better in the second half with the breeze facing in them. So that was kind of interesting. But I mean, it'll be unfair to say that they're running side. The weather just conspired against them on both days, and they had to adapt. And it wasn't like that the breeze and those elements were blowing directly down the field, they were at an angle. So the weather is a lot kinder maybe on Sunday. I mean, there's no doubt that there's football in this here Donegal side, but what I liked about them is that they were prepared to dig deep in both those halves, Jeremy. You know, they outworked, to be honest, Monaghan and Down. And if you can have a side, regardless of talent, you know, they're prepared to work and dig deep. And we'd heard that Sean Paul Bard had worked them really hard in their pre-season, which basically, I think, was just the month of December. You know, that showed in both those halves. And if you have that, and they will need it at certain stages against Tyrone, you know, they shouldn't be far away.
Yeah, plenty of quality in that Donegal team as well, Frank, and some familiar names in there, but fair play to them. As you say, it's not about individuals, they're a fine side.
Fine side, and as we said, when you have to get men behind the ball like that there, because as we've seen even guys like, you know, Aaron Doherty practicing frees and stuff under their breeze beforehand, it was pulling the ball seriously, a really exaggerated arc on it, and it was almost impossible to kick into it, but they were getting men to support. I mean, the likes of Peter McEnough, you know, I was really impressed with him. You know, Oisin Walsh, these boys were getting forward with serious energy, and I suppose Aaron as well, you know, Aaron was dropping back in behind Luke Gaffigan there as well, which was really interesting. And Aaron has this knack of kind of slowing the game down to his own pace. He can take a solo, he can look around, and you know, not everybody can do that there. At intercounty football at any level now, you're closed down, you're turned over with real physicality. But when you can have a player that can solo around, look up, you know, pick a pass and that there. And Donegal could do that there the last day. And inside, Ethan Harkin, you know, the likes of Potter McGettigan, they shoot on sight forwards, which I like. Some managers probably don't. But if you have an inside forward that whose first intention is to tie up the post and have a bang, you're always going to have a chance. But I think the most impressive thing about this Donegal side is their ability to work and work for each other, and you know, that could well be the difference of the weekend, because we know Tyrone, you know, All-Ireland champions, we said 3 years ago, they were champions last year at this grade in Ulster. Everybody knows about Dara Canavan. I mean, his reputation precedes him because obviously his dad, but the likes of Tiernan Quinn is a serious footballer too. You know, Cormac Munro, I think, is the skipper there. Anton Fox is the skipper there, but Cormac Munro, you know, in the middle of defence as well. They're a quality side, and Paul Devlin is very astute manager too. So a lot will depend on Sean Paul Bart and Paul Devlin the next day too. But the other thing about Sean Paul Bart, what I will say too, he isn't scared to ring the changes. Things weren't going well in the first quarter of the last day, and you know, you could see him already making changes, withdrawing men and putting people on. So the battle along the perimeters as well is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, and the very fact that it's in Clonus as well, Frank, I'm sure that will bring a few nerves among these young Donegal players. But so far, they have stepped up to the challenge. And looking at that side, very, very strong spine in that squad, isn't there? And he also has plenty of options on the bench.
Plenty of options. You say Clonus as well. I mean, you know, great venue. It's where you want to be playing your provincial finals. And it's the only show in town next weekend, insofar as Donegal seniors aren't out till the following week. So I'd expect, you know, a big crowd, hopefully, to travel to that there. You know, Tyrone will travel in large numbers. And you said a strong spine, but the interesting thing is there's young lads there, like, no, I stand to be correct, but I think Rory O'Donnell and young Richard O'Rourke in the middle of the field, I think they might even have another year left at this here grade, Jeremy. You know, Richard O'Rourke, I think, might even have 2 years left, the young four masters lads. So, I mean, around the middle, you know, to have two young lads like that there holding their own at this here grade, you know, it's going to be a big ask of them the next day. Listen, it has all the makings of a great game. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what, weather-wise, comes on Sunday, because we've had nothing but really, really bad weather this last 2 weekends. But again, the last different questions of Donegal, because they've probably had to play a certain way in the last 2 weekends. But I mean, there's probably more in them football wise, but they've had to dig deep and maybe go to a place that you wouldn't expect to go this here time of year. But in terms of just natural footballers and working hard, I mean, all that, all those cliches are going to come under the weekend, could well be the difference.
Well, we've enjoyed the run so far, Frank, and hopefully we can look forward to another decent game this Saturday. Thanks very much for joining us this evening.
No problem.
Frank Craig there, reporter with the Donegal News. That match on Saturday, the Ulster GAA Football Under 20 Championship Final in Clonus, throws in at 3 o'clock, and it's the only show in town, as Frank says. But there's other action as well on Saturday. There's minor league football action here in Ulster, and Donegal are playing Tyrone at 12 o'clock in the Jim McGuigan Cup. That's Section B Round 2. And plenty of other matches on as well, and there's games as well at under 16 level. At 2 o'clock on Saturday, Donegal play Tyrone, one of three games there. We're going to go for another quick break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Every club that registers this weekend also gets a bonus 200 points.
The Naughty Alarm Clock.
Hey folks, how you doing? It's Lee Gooch here. Well, Highland Radio is celebrating its 30th birthday this year. And no, 30! I know it's hard to believe. Well, we would love if any schools out there, possibly your school, could design us a Highland Radio 30th birthday card. And you could be lucky. You could win yourself a brand new laptop and vouchers for the students. So get designing, and all the terms and conditions on highlandradio.com. I wish you the best of luck. And we're going to be flagging up some of the best entries on Highland Radio's social pages. So can't wait to see them. Best of luck with it.
Happy 21st birthday to Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring. To celebrate, they're offering €21 cash back on every €100 spent in store. Save big in all tiles, wood flooring and bathware. Celebrate new tiles, come on! Right Price Tiles and Wood Flooring 21st birthday sale ends Sunday. Stores nationwide.
Tell us this and tell us no more. What's all this about a car draw in the Colt Red Visigy Door?
It's a draw for members only, where you could win a Hyundai Tucson or cash prizes galore.
So where can I get my hands on a ticket, and what costs will I incur?
It's €50 per ticket, and can be got in the sub-office in Volcara or in the office in Gweedore. And the draw will take place on the 6th of March, so make sure you have your ticket bought before.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you no more. You could be in with a chance of winning a Hyundai Tucson or cash prizes galore if you get your ticket quickly and if you're a member of the credit union in Gweedore.
Cor Cronvasa Gweedore Chorinta is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Into the closing 15 minutes of tonight's programme, a new season of the Trade and Showers National Rally Championship gets underway on Sunday with the Mayo Stages Rally. It's back in Castlebar after an 11-year gap. Former national champions Donna Kelly and Conor Foley will battle for victory in their Polo R5. Oisin Kelly has been looking ahead to the rally with the National Series Media Coordinator Martin Walsh.
So, Martin, looking ahead to the championship for 2020, up and running at the weekend in Mayo, and as always, there's a keen Donegal interest.
Absolutely. Donna Kelly, he's the third seed, and of course Donna won the Triton Championship back in 2015, but that was on board his Ford Focus. But for Mayo, or should I say for the Castlebar event, he's driving his VW Polo R5 that he actually drove to victory down in Cork and last October.
And Donna, of course, we're going to have a busy 14 days, or 7 days rather, because the following weekend they're going to be in Cork as well, West Cork.
Absolutely, yeah. That's another, I suppose, some of the drivers like himself and Josh Moffat will be using the event both as, you know, obviously in the Triton Showers Championship, but also Shakedown for the West Cork Rally. And that entry, which was announced yesterday, is an absolutely cracking entry. It's probably the best entry that I've seen in both, you know, Ireland and England in the last few years. There's something like 25 plus R5 cars. But, you know, this weekend in Mayo, for the start of the championship, you have a blend of world cars and R5 cars. And there's been a great debate, as you know, down through the years, particularly in the Donegal International Rally, with some guys using world cars and more using R5. So it'll be interesting to see how that will pan out on the 9 stages on Sunday.
Yeah, the 9 stages back in Castlebar for the first time after, what, 11 or 12 years, is it? Are the stages going to suit the R5, or is it going to be more leaning towards the WRC stuff, Martin?
Well, interestingly enough, a few weeks ago I spoke to Josh Moffat when he was contesting the Abbey Leaks Rally, an event that he won. And while he is listed to drive his Fiesta World car in Mayo on the entry list, he is in fact taking his Hyundai because he said he needs to get more miles in it. So I actually posed him that question. You know, he's up against the world car of Roy White, who won the series as well. And he said, look, it depends on the stages. If they're tight and technical, then the R5 will be the car to have. But if they're fast, then you have the outright speed of the world car. So I suppose at the stages, from what I can gather, is a mix and match. So it'll be up to the drivers.
Yeah. A couple of other Donegal men involved as well, Martin.
Yes, if we look down the list, the Trevor Buster from Donegal Town, he's one of the top entries in Group N, and that's always a good contest to have. But further down the list, we have Willem McFadden in an Escort G3 from Romelton, Daniel Conan, of course, of Milford in an Escort, and Sean Doherty from Creaslock, also in an Escort, and then Paul Carn from Rathmullen in a Toyota Corolla. So plenty of Donegal interest, but I suppose everybody will be watching Donna Kelly just to see how he will get on in Mayo. Donna is a very, very busy man. He doesn't commit to the championships at the start, but if he gets a good run, who knows? And I'm sure everybody in the Triton series would love to see him go on and go on to the next round. And of course, we finish in Donegal in October.
Yeah, Donegal back on the calendar for this year. It is, of course, rotated with the Burr stages. Is that right? Is that correct, Martin?
Yeah.
On a yearly basis towards the end of the year. So, but it's Donegal's turn anyway in 2020.
It is, and that adds an extra dimension to it because the national series rotates every year, 8 different rounds or 7 different rounds, and they go to different locations, like, as you say, in Donegal, it moves around the county. And I think that's great for the rally drivers because it gives them a different location, a different terrain each year. And it's the same in Mayo. Last year it was on Achill Island, it was previously down in Claremorris, and now it's going back to Castlebar after 11 years.
Just back to the entry list, as always, we like to see the Mark IIs and the two-wheel drive category, and some like to call them the entertainers. One standout name amongst them all is David Bogie of Scotland.
Absolutely, he's coming over. Last year he came over to a few of the rounds in a Skoda Fabia, but he's bringing his Escort, and that is, I suppose, that is the spectacle for a lot of people. They like to see the sideways style of the Escorts coming out of the corners, but you know, you lose time doing that, and he won't want to do a lot of that because he has two very good drivers to deal with. We have Damien Toner from Armagh and Cavan's Gary Kiernan, and you know, they're class drivers, so that in itself, the two-wheel drive will be an absolutely cracking contest as well.
Okay, it's the start of a championship, and if we were talking Gaelic football or talking soccer or even cricket to that extent here in Highland, Martin, we always ask the man that we talked to at the start of the campaign for his predictions for the year ahead. So then, 2020, who's your tip for the championship? And all those eight difficult rounds to come, and anything can happen. I'm going to throw you on the spot here, Martin. Who do you think is going to be the championship this year?
Thanks for that, Oisin. I suppose on form and the fact that he's been out at two rallies already, you would really have to look at Josh. But then you have, you know, that's in the Hyundai. You also have Donna in the Polo, and that's proving to be a very, very good car in Irish rallying. But, you know, a lot will depend. Whoever comes out of Mayo, I think I would favour them for the championship. But a dark horse in Mayo could be Paddy Herson in his Ford Fiesta. He's a driver that hasn't enjoyed a lot of luck because of reliability, and it's amazing to see that he won the championship way back in 1992 in an Opel Ascona, and he's still at the very cutting edge. You know, it shows the kind of talented driver he is, probably the most talented driver in the country that never got a decent run in rallying. But I suppose back to your question, you're probably plumb for Josh Moffat.
Okay, yeah. Martin Walsh, media coordinator of the Tritonshire's National Rally Championship, the best of luck with the series ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Oisin.
There you go. Thanks to Martin and Oisin for that. So the new National Rally Championship up and running this weekend. We'll get all the news from Castlebar throughout Sunday on Sunday Sport with Porrick. In rugby this weekend, Butler Shield semi-final in a show against Donaghadee on Saturday. And in Ulster Championship 3, Strabane host Hollywood. And another busy weekend of athletics as well. Local athletes on their travels. The All-Ireland Schools Cross Countries are on in Santry in Dublin on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Athlone IT plays host to the National Masters Indoors. We're going to go for another quick break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop in store.
Welcome back. Little Ladies, National Football League Division 1 action this weekend. There's a busy programme of fixtures on Sunday, including Donegal at home to Cork. That game throws in at 2 o'clock. Tyrone play Wexford in Division 2 and Derry host Louth. That's in Division 4. In the men's football, Alliance Football League, Fermanagh play Armagh on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. And there's hurling action as well this weekend. The Donegal Hurlers, by the way, they play Armagh in the Alliance League Division 3A final this Sunday in Carrickmore, knowing that a win will see them promoted back to Division 2B. Well, Donegal lost their first game of the campaign to Armagh, but they qualified for the final with four consecutive wins over Longford, Louth, Tyrone and Monaghan. Ronan McDermott and PJ McCarron, two key players. Well, there are doubts for this weekend, but Donegal's management are hopeful that they'll be okay. And in this week's GAA preview, Tom Cormack, well, he's been speaking with Donegal team captain Sean McVeigh.
Well, Sean, looking forward to Sunday's final, and I suppose a score to settle after the opening round game in O'Donnell Park.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we've recovered the situation well after the first day out. I suppose from a personal point of view, and I suppose from the team's point of view, we weren't happy with performance levels that day against Armagh, and you know, I suppose they were without doubt the deserving winner that day. But we've recovered things well. We've got four wins in the bounce now, and you know, we think we're coming into it in good enough shape. But as you know, we know if we drop off that 5-10%, you're still liable to get beat again. And if performance levels drop in hurling, that's a big swing. So we're just focused on getting a performance and not really too worried about the first eight against Armagh, just focusing on our own levels, which is what we've been doing the last few games. And if we can do that again this weekend, we'll be in a good enough place.
Yeah. Captain this year taking over from Danny Cullen. I'm sure you thought after that first game, what is Mickey McCann landing me in here?
It was a long enough week guy now, to be honest, after that first day. But look, there's plenty enough leaders in that team now, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of the boys have been on the road a long time. You've got Joe and Danny, and you've got Declan Coulter and Lee Henderson, and you can name out a whole host more. The boys have been there for 10 odd years, like, so the team leads itself, really. Like, and yeah, it was a tough enough first week all the same.
And also a new role, kind of centre half back. It'd be kind of new to you, wouldn't it, as well?
Yeah, I suppose Mickey moved me there a couple of years ago, so been kind of playing my hurling there this past couple of years. I enjoy it. Like, it's good. I suppose you're facing up the pitch a lot of the time, like, so you're kind of getting to play ball into the forwards, which was different originally, but that's good enough challenge. You're happy enough to play anywhere, really, at the end of the day, like, so I'm happy enough with that.
As you said, you've turned it around since, I suppose, got back on the bike against Tyrone in a big way in Oma, and then followed up with a win over Monaghan and Louth.
Yeah, the Tyrone performance was probably our best to date. Like, after the Armagh game, we kind of spoke about what went wrong that day and how we were just, why the levels were that wee bit off, like, so we responded very well and played some brilliant hurling, especially in the first 15 minutes or so in that game. I think we went like 1-6, 1-7 up to no score, and we were really flying. But I suppose the last couple of weeks has been, especially the Louth game, you know, you're playing in storms and stuff, so really and truly it's about winning battles and getting the result. And although performance levels you want to be high as well, it's, at this time of year, a lot of it's just about will and just getting the results. So that's kind of what's happened a lot the last couple of weeks, and we're hoping now that moving in towards the next couple of months, the weather brightens up a bit and we can kind of get and play a bit more hurling. But again, we're just ready for a battle on Sunday.
How is preparations this year? It must be difficult with the weather and the conditions, is it?
I suppose it has been. We're lucky enough that we've got a couple of, you know, down at Donald Park there now, we have a 3G pitch there which we can use. We've been using a place down in Burt there as well, which has been useful. Like, so it means you can get some quality hurling done. You're not going through the muck and the slog and the puddles and stuff, which is always makes things a lot harder. But no, in fairness, it's been fairly good. You know, Ryan McLaughlin's come in this year as an S&C coach as well, and he's lifted things up another notch. Like, so we feel like we're in good enough shape. Preparation's been fairly good. There's been no cry-offs or anything. All the boys are not complaining at all. Like, everybody's there and pushing hard. So, I couldn't really complain against it.
Sean McVeigh there in conversation with Tom Cormack. That Division 3A final is at 2 o'clock on Saturday, or on Sunday, excuse me, and that's in Carrickmore, Armagh against Donegal. Just back to soccer before we finish up for the evening. I want to mention a couple of big fixtures this weekend. The Ulster Senior League returns this Saturday. Coghill Celtic against Finn Harps Reserves kicks off at 3 o'clock. There's Knockalla Caravans Cup action as well. There's a big semi-final on Saturday evening, Bunnygee United against Letterkenny Rovers. In junior soccer here in Donegal, mixture of league and cup games spread out over Saturday and Sunday. Voodoo Venue Cup action on Saturday and some big games as well in both the Saturday and Sunday divisions. And that's a similar case as well in the Inishowen Football League. Some big games, Greencastle against Moville, Coghill against Cairn, and Aileach FC against Buncrana Hearts. That's three of the big games in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division in the Inishowen League. And in the Irish League Premiership, it's tight at the top in that division. And Coleraine, who are staying on the coattails of the leaders in the Premier Division, they're away to Ballymena United this Saturday. That match, one of six games in the Irish League Premier Division. Well, that's about it from myself tonight. Thanks to my studio guests, Joe Boyle and Paul Brown. Thanks to Frank Craig for his contribution as well. Rosemary's up next. From myself, Dermot Doherty. Until next Thursday night at 7 o'clock, have a very good evening.